Hello, everyone. My name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm delighted to be your host tonight for the first of a series of telephone budget sessions for the City of Mississauga. Joining me this evening is Mayor Bonnie Crombie, along with members of the City's leadership team.
Good evening, everyone. It's Mayor Bonnie Crombie, and I'm thrilled that you could join us tonight.
Before we hear more from our speakers, let me start by explaining how a telephone budget session works. Right now, residents from all over Mississauga are answering their phones and connecting to the discussion. We'll hear from the mayor shortly. She and other city staff are here tonight to talk about the city's 2018 budget. After that, it will be your turn. You'll have a chance to ask your questions of the mayor and staff and to raise issues that you think are critical to Mississauga's 2018 budget. You can get in line to ask a question at any time by pressing star 3 on your phone keypad. You'll then be put through to an operator who will take down your question and put you in line. For those of you joining us online, please type your question into the question field. If you have a question about the 2018 city budget, but don't get a chance to ask it during our session tonight, you can send it to the following email address, budget@mississauga.ca. That's budget@mississauga.ca. Throughout this session, we will also be asking you questions in the form of quick polls. From time to time, over the next hour and a half, I will read out a question and some multiple choice responses, and you will be able to use your keypad to respond. Here are a few things to keep in mind when you ask a question tonight. When you press star 3 to ask your question, you'll be routed to an operator who will ask you to provide your name and the nature of your question. Please try to keep your question as brief as possible. There are a lot of people on the line, and we want to try to get to as many of your questions as we can. Remember to make sure your question is about the 2018 budget and priorities for next year. Finally, if you don't feel comfortable asking your question live, you can tell the operator that you'd like to have your question read out loud by the moderator. And remember, you have a few other options to provide your feedback, both by email and through polling questions throughout the evening. Again, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm excited to be your moderator for this telephone budget session with Mayor Crombie and staff from the City of Mississauga. It's my job to keep this conversation moving smoothly and to make sure we get to hear your opinions and have as much discussion as possible. Before we start getting to your questions, I'd like to invite the mayor to say a few words. Mayor Crombie, what would you like Mississauga residents to know about the work going on to prepare the 2018 city budget?
Thank you, Jody. Welcome and thank you to our residents for joining us this evening. Developing the city's annual budget is one of the most important things we do each year. The city business plan and budget process shows how the city turns our vision, our goals, and our priorities into action. As our 2018 business plan and budget take shape, we remain committed to delivering the right services, demonstrating value for tax dollars, maintaining our infrastructure in a good state of repair, and moving forward on our long-term strategic goals. The budget process is also important as a democratic process. Through your elected representatives or by getting involved directly in the process, you can have a say on how the budget is approved. There are a number of challenges facing the city today. An aging infrastructure. Roughly 65% of city buildings are more than 20 years old. Almost one-third of these buildings are more than 40 years old. Costs are increasing, which impacts the cost to deliver services and maintain our infrastructure. Changing demographics, which impact the services we provide and the way that we engage our stakeholders. At the same time, we need to look ahead and invest in the future to ensure Mississauga continues to be a great city with the high quality of life that residents enjoy today. One way we're doing that is by investing in moving people through Mississauga with reliable transit system, providing more transit service hours, completing the Mississauga Transitway, and moving ahead with the Huron-Ontario Light Rail Transit. We're also looking at how to build, enhance, invest in our downtown and our waterfront. But we can't fund everything that we would like to, and that means we have to make some tough choices. The business plan and budget process is how we make those key decisions. That's why it's so important for you to stay connected and engaged in the process. I have a number of my colleagues here tonight to help answer your questions, and we look forward to hearing from you. And now I'd like to turn it back over to the moderator to begin the session.
Thank you very much, Mayor Crombie. For those of you just joining us, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm your moderator for this evening's telephone budget session. And I'm pleased to be here with Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie and staff from the city to talk about the 2018 budget. Just a reminder, you can press star 3 on your phone at any time to get in line to ask a question. We're talking about your priorities tonight as the city prepares the budget for 2018. In a short while, we'll be taking live questions. In addition to hearing questions directly from you, we have the ability in this telephone budget session to do quick polls. Let's do one now. I'm going to ask a question and then read out a few possible answers. You choose the one that best reflects your opinion by pressing the number on your phone keypad that corresponds with your answer. Please listen to all of the answers before you make your selection. Here is my first question. Of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. Roads and infrastructure, press 3. Recreation programs, press 4. Parks and forestry, press 5. Again, that question is, of the following, which city service is most important to you and your family? If it's libraries, press 1. For transit, press 2. Roads and infrastructure, press 3. Recreation programs, press 4. Parks and forestry, press 5. We'll have another poll question for you later, so look for that coming up in a few minutes. Just a quick reminder to our listeners, if you have a question for the mayor, please dial star 3 on your phone keypad to be put in line to ask a question. We can begin with a question coming in online. Madam Mayor, we're being asked if you can please tell what the city credits rating is and what action the city is taking to earn and maintain this rating.
Well, I want to thank our listeners for that very important question this evening. As everyone knows, that Mississauga is a recognized leader in financial management, and for the past 14 consecutive years, Standard & Poor's Rating Service has awarded the city the highest possible credit rating, a AAA credit rating, so folks can have confidence when investing in our city, when locating in our city, and we're very, very proud of that. In fact, our staff have won a number of awards because of our financial record keeping. I will ask our Commissioner of Corporate Services and our CFO, Gary Kent, to further elaborate on our credit rating, please. Gary.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and good evening, everyone. Yes, as Madam Mayor says, we've received this award for 14 years in a row, and really one of the key elements that they speak about is the city's financial management in terms of stability and also in terms of debt projection. So it's really critical to us to have a capital forecast that remains fairly stable over a period of time. The credit agencies do not like surprises at all. In terms of other awards, we have the GFOA Award, which is a North American Association for Financial Managers. We've received for the last 26 years the award for our budgeting practices, and that's the most running for any Canadian municipality, and for our financial reporting the last 19 years. So these are elements that Standard & Poor's look to when they assign our credit rating.
Thank you very much for that. Just a reminder, anyone with a question can press star 3 on their phone keypads to get in the queue to speak with the mayor and City of Mississauga staff. Our next question coming in is about light rail transit in Mississauga. What is the status of the construction of the Huron-Ontario Light Rail Transit Initiative?
Oh, another excellent question. We here in Mississauga are extremely excited about the prospect of breaking ground on our Huron-Ontario Light Rail Transit project next year, a $1.4 billion project that the provincial government is 100% funding. This will be a 20-kilometer track LRT, making 22 stops, connecting at Port Credit at the GO train station, connecting at the Cooksville station, looping around the downtown and heading north all the way to Brampton. And for further information about when we actually break ground and a few more details, I'm going to pass it on to Jeff Wright, our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, to give us some more details. Jeff, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. So the construction of the LRT will start late 2018, early 2019. Metrolinx currently has an RFP out right now to hire a consortium. We're working with Metrolinx to respond to questions from bidders and looking to make an award towards the end of 2018, which would then proceed into construction. And that construction would last for a number of years, and the current schedule has completion towards the end of 2022.
Thank you very much for that. We have a question coming in as well, asking about funding for more roundabouts, Mayor Crombie.
That's a terrific question. Here at Mississauga, we believe that roundabouts keep the traffic flowing and they're very efficient, and we're incorporating them more and more into the designs of our streets. They do cost a little more than a standard light intersection, but we think they're worthwhile. And I think I'll pass it on to Jeff Wright, our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, to tell you about our plans to incorporate more roundabouts in the city of Mississauga.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. So yes, roundabouts is a tool in our tool belt in terms of looking at how we move traffic around Mississauga. When we look to place roundabouts, there's a number of factors that we look into in terms of property availability as well as traffic volume. So the city is looking to expand the use of roundabouts. We've just finished constructing one at Explore and Skymark in the Airport Corporate Center. And certainly as the city evolves and continues to mature, we will look to place more roundabouts at appropriate locations.
Thank you for that. Just another reminder to dial *3 on your phone keypad to ask a question of the mayor and city staff. Another question that has come in to us for the mayor and city staff wants to know, how is the city of Mississauga dealing with climate change?
Well, once again, such an important issue, and we've just seen the effects of climate change as we've witnessed the incidents in Florida and in Texas. We've seen the impact of Hurricanes Irma and the devastating impact of Hurricane Harvey. So we are very aware of the impact that climate change is happening. These 100-year storms are coming with greater frequency. Just last week, Council voted to join the Covenant of Mayors, the used to be known as the Compact of Mayors internationally, so that we have a plan to deal with the effects of climate change, whether it's through adaptation or mitigation. We have a number of plans in place. Most importantly, Mississauga has really taken a leadership role when it came to imposing a stormwater levy so that we can collect the money we need to build stormwater infrastructure, whether it's building up our creek banks or building stormwater management ponds. And I think I'll pass it back to Jeff Wright, our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, so he can tell you a little bit more about our plans.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So you've outlined a number of areas around climate change where this is being proactive in terms of looking at future events and how resilient our infrastructure is to adapt to those events. So there's a number of initiatives that we have in place today in terms of looking at our climate change plan, as well as investments in infrastructure such as stormwater and road infrastructure to manage those high rainwater events. And certainly as we look to from an environmental perspective, look at ways that we can reduce our impact and have a broader range of sustainability measures, things that are in place around that.
Thank you, Jeff. It's Paul Mitchum. I just wanted to add that 2018 is going to be a very special year for us because we're embarking as we speak on a comprehensive climate change plan for the city. It'll be a plan for the city as a corporation, but a plan that will address the climate change needs of the entire community. It's already funded by council. We're beginning discussions shortly. We have already secured consultants, and we'll be publicly launching, I would say, before Christmas. Thank you.
I'm going to keep reminding our callers to please dial *3 on your phone keypad so that you can get in line to ask questions of the mayor and city staff. We're going to go to the phones now and hear from Ashish, who has two questions for the mayor about property taxes and the future routes of the LRT. Ashish, what's your question?
Hello, Mayor Crombie. I just have two quick questions for you. Earlier, you alluded to there'll be some tough decisions to be made on the infrastructure. So on a personal level, I start thinking is, are you going to raise property taxes for individuals and families? And if you are, what's the percentage increase? And my question on the LRT project is right now, LRT is constructed on Highway 10. Are there any more streets or roads where you're planning to construct LRT on?
Ashish, I want to thank you for the call, and I will reinforce the fact that Mississauga maintains we are very fiscally conservative, we're fiscally responsible, we're all taxpayers just like you, and we've made a commitment to keep any tax increases in and around the rate of inflation. For instance, last year the tax increase to the average household was 2.9%, the total tax increase, but that was as a result of a 0.5 increase because we're building a pool in Ward 10, so otherwise, without the pool, it would have been 2.4%. So we always try to keep it within that range of inflation. And with respect to the LRT, we are always looking where we can retrofit higher order transit. We looked carefully at the Dundas Street corridor, and they may be ready for bus rapid transit. We're looking at the Lakeshore corridor, what is the appropriate higher order transit in the Lakeshore area. Now there will be much more development occurring both in Lakeview and in the West Village where the former oil refinery existed. So I will also ask our CFO, Gary Kent, to comment on our tax increases, and then I'll ask Jeff Wright to comment briefly on the LRT. Over to you, Gary.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and good evening, Ashish. As Madam Mayor mentioned, we're really just at the start of the budget process, so we have not yet announced or staff have not recommended a proposed budget to Council yet. You'll start to see that in November, and we can talk about the dates for that later. Ashish, the property tax increase, as you probably know, is made up from the city portion, the regional portion, and the provincial portion. And in June, we suggested to Council that the property tax would be just around 3 or just under 3%. So they have asked us to do some work on that, and we'll be bringing that forward to Council in November, as I mentioned. But it is made up of three components. The city portion is only 34% of the dollars that you pay.
Hi, Ashish. It's Jeff Wright, Commissioner of Transportation and Works. And further to the Mayor's comments on light rail, so yes, we are looking at a number of corridors in Mississauga for future higher order transit. The Mayor mentioned Dundas Corridor, which we've just wrapping up a study called Dundas Connects. We're in the middle of looking at Lakeshore Connecting Communities, and that project will be wrapping up shortly. We're also working very closely with Metrolinx on the regional transportation plan, and Metrolinx has just released their draft of that plan, and in there it looks at transit projects and how people move around the region. So Mississauga has a big role within that plan, and I would invite you to take a look at Mississauga's projects that are identified in the regional transportation plan for further information on higher order transit.
Thanks for that. Our next question comes from Miriam, and she wants to ask about affordable housing. Go ahead, Miriam.
Yes, hi, Madam Mayor. My question is how Mississauga is planning for affordable rent and housing in future years for families living in Mississauga.
Miriam, that is an issue that council is very concerned about. With as we see the rising cost of real estate, we are concerned that people won't be able to continue to live and work in our city. So we want to ensure that there is an available housing stock so that people can continue to be able to thrive in our city. As you know, that the region of Peel, we're part of a two-tier government. They look after the subsidized housing list, and we still have 12,000 families on that list. But we continue each year to purchase units to put people into subsidized housing. Here in the city of Mississauga, we're very concerned about the middle class and middle class housing. And we've created a report, which we are about to adopt later in the fall, called Making Room for the Middle. And it's full of 40 or so recommendations on working with federal and provincial governments so that we can ensure that people who are service providers and librarians and teachers can continue to work in our city, that there is an available stock of rental units that are geared to their income that they can find affordable. And we're very proud of this initiative. And to explain it a little further, I'm going to ask our Commissioner of Planning and Building, Ed Sajecki, to comment a little further. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As the Mayor mentioned, we have spent a lot of time on this issue over the past year, and in fact, Council established a housing advisory panel, and the Mayor attended all of the meetings with the panel, and that had members of the private sector, the federal and provincial governments, and nonprofit housing suppliers involved. So this report, Making Room for the Middle, was a subject of a housing forum in the spring of this year, and in fact, over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be taking forward a report with a number of recommendations going forward that will focus specifically on the 40 actions that the mayor mentioned. So I would say stay tuned on that. And if you're interested, I believe that report will be going before Planning and Development Committee on October the 16th of this year. So that's up in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Our next caller is Shabina. And Shabina has a question about funding plans for parks. Shabina, what's your question?
I would like to ask Mayor Crombie and her team about specific plans regarding forestry and parks in the city of Mississauga. Thank you.
Shabina, it's an excellent question, and of course we're always concerned that we have sufficient green land and parks available for our residents to help enhance their quality of life. We're always putting parkland aside and insisting on any new development that a portion of that development be parkland. For instance, in the M-City development, sitting on 10 buildings on 10 acres, they've donated back 2 acres for parkland. So we're always looking to invest in our parkland. And I will ask as well our Commissioner for Community Services, Paul Mitchum, to explain what he's doing in his department to ensure that we have the parkland that our residents expect.
So two questions then from what I heard. Then first on forestry. Increasing the tree canopy citywide is a high priority for the city. In fact, we have committed to planting 1 million trees over the next 20 years. And making very good progress towards that objective. At the same time, Council have approved significant funding to address the losses associated with the emerald ash borer, EAB. It's a bug that has come into Canada from South Asia. Council is investing somewhere between $6 and $7 million per year in the removal of diseased trees and replanting new trees in those same locations. At the same time, on the park side, we have a program that we feel addresses community needs in 2018 with new parks planned at a school site, Willow Glen, here Ontario, and Eglinton at the site that we call Pinnacle, Fletcher's Green, Parkland and City Center, very near to the Sheridan College, Scholars Green, it's a second phase. And of course, then there are a number of new trails, missing links, if you will, playground replacements, and so on. Very proud of our parks. In fact, when the community is surveyed, parks very often come up as one of the top reasons that people love Mississauga.
Thank you for that. Gord is our next caller with a question about support for manufacturing and a skilled workforce. Gord, go ahead.
Yes, Mayor. Madam Mayor, I'd like to know how the City of Mississauga plans to
invest and support in the science and technology and education that's required to maintain our skilled workforce for manufacturing, to maintain manufacturing Mississauga.
Gord, it's an excellent question, and we work very closely with our companies and our economic development office. In fact, we have a strategy around building skilled talent in our community. In fact, when I sell our city abroad, I would say that one of our competitive advantages, part of our value proposition, is our talented and our skilled workforce. We have over 20% of our residents that have a post-secondary degree, and 20% of those also have a specific designation, whether it be accountant, planner, engineer, et cetera. I'm focused on youth unemployment as well, and I'm very concerned about the level of youth unemployment. I'm hosting a youth job fair, a youth expo, on November 19th here at City Hall. Last year at the youth expo, we had over 1,300 youth sign up and over 70 companies and organizations. We've also announced two different employment programs, one with Empower Mississauga, and the second one is an apprenticeship program with Mitsubishi Heavy Industries that are hiring our youth, and so we're very excited about that, but it's certainly a focus for us. We've worked closely with Sheridan College and UTM to ensure that the talent that is needed in our community, our new grads can receive that training in our local schools. So we're very aware of this issue. We're trying to build up our science technology sectors as well as our manufacturing sector. So we're trying to train our grads to ensure that they can fill the jobs within our community. Our Commissioner of Community Services, Paul Mitchum, would also like to make a few comments on this issue. Thank you, Gord.
So just to add to what Mayor Crombie has said, that we're taking as a priority to make sure that our young people are trained and educated in two areas, mainly robotics and in coding, something that came up today at Council, in fact, around the sponsorship of the first robotics provincial championship at Hershey in April 2018. But in behind that, there's an elaborate and a large number of programs, mostly within the library area, some within our Mississauga Business Advisory Center as well, to make sure that young people all the way from 7 to 8 years old gain the skills that they need in science, engineering, and technology to be capable in robotics and coding. Thank you.
Tony's our next caller with a question about revenue tools. Tony, what's your question?
Well, my question is, given that Mississauga is now a mature municipality and the expenses are accelerating as the infrastructure ages, and being mature, there's not too much more development possible. Apart from raises in property taxes and rainwater runoff schemes, what other plans do you have for revenue generation to cover these expenses?
Tony, it's an excellent question as well. This is something that all the mayors are concerned about, and it is an issue that we have discussed with the Premier on additional revenue tools for cities, but we have to act responsibly. The City of Toronto does have additional revenue tools at their disposal, but none of the other municipalities do. As you know, we're very fiscally conservative, so that we maintain that our infrastructure deficit is very low, and we have a 10-year asset management program that we carefully manage. So if there is a deficit, we can easily defer programs or delay them until we can afford it. We keep borrowing to a minimum. And we also have a annual infrastructure and debt levy at 2%, 1% going into reserves so we can plan for our infrastructure needs, and the other percent going into debt repayment. So we are very conservative, but we're very concerned about the issue as you are. I must say that we are in a renaissance time right now, whereas we are working with the other levels of government, the federal government and the provincial government, that recognize that cities are those economic engines and they do need to be funded. And as a result, we have seen infrastructure money coming into the city. The federal government has a program that has enabled us, that has given us $59 million in the first round of the infrastructure plan. And we've purchased 77 buses, some bus shelters, and made some changes and some enhancements to our trails, our parks, and some lighted pathways. So the federal government has recognized our need, and I would say that the provincial government is equally aware that cities can't go at it alone, and as you have seen, and as I mentioned earlier, they are 100% funding our LRT as a result. Cities can't afford these large, aspirational, capital-intensive infrastructure projects, so we have to look to other orders of government. But I'll reiterate that we are fiscally conservative, and we have been making revenue tools top of mind with the higher order of governments that we deal with, letting them know that those are our needs and we can't go at it alone, that we can't build 21st century cities with 19th century tools. Anyone else want to comment on this while we're here? Pretty much done it. Gary? And my commissioner of corporate services and our CFO, Gary Kent, will make a few comments as well.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think you covered off the whole gamut, the whole range there. I mean, just to reinforce that stormwater charge has actually enabled us to triple our capital program over 10 years. And just to reassure the caller that our state of our assets are in a state of good repair, we report out on this, and presently we think our assets, there's only about 2% of them that we would say is poor. But we certainly, last year, Madam Mayor, beyond the $59 million we got from the federal government, we also got monies from the province and the feds for federal gas tax. So it really seems to have changed, and the message seems to be getting through. So that gives us some optimism for the future.
I'd like to welcome anyone who's just joining us and remind everyone, if you have a question, dial *3 and you'll be put in a queue so that you can ask a question of the mayor and city staff. Our next caller with a question is Harry, and he has a question about bus services for seniors. Harry, what's your question?
Yeah, I live in Streetsville. I have to get two buses just to get to Credit Valley Hospital.
Harry, this is Mayor Crombie. We are always investing in our bus rapid transitway and MyWay, our MyWay services, always looking to enhance our services. Each year, we do continue to invest strategically to enhance bus services. In fact, today, I'll let you know that Council voted to make permanent the $1 fare for seniors, so in off-peak hours, even though you have to take the two buses, and I'm going to ask my Commissioner to speak about that in 1 second, if you could travel in off-peak hours, it'll only cost you a dollar each way. So I've got right here with me our Commissioner for Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, and he can speak to the fact that you have to take two buses to get to Credit Valley Hospital from Streetsville. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So in terms of bus service, the city has completed what's called the MyWay 5 service plan, and this is a five-year plan for transit service in Mississauga, and we're currently looking at and refining our plan as this progresses. And there's some public consultation that's coming up around the MyWay 5 2018 service plan. And as Mayor Crombie alluded to today at General Committee, there was a report on fares for seniors. So there's a combination of support that the city is providing for seniors from a fare perspective, but also looking at our service plan. And one of the things that we're looking at is to address your comment, Harry, about, you know, having to transfer and take multiple routes. We're looking to streamline our routes and make it more easier, faster, and convenient for people to get to major centers, like from Streetsville to Credit Valley. So I'd encourage you to follow up with the city on the MyWay 5 service plan and look at ways that we can hear your feedback on how we can make our transit service better for you.
Our next question comes to us from G. Gill and is about tax increases. Please ask your question. We appear to have lost G. Gill, so what I'll do is I'll move us on. We'll ask anyway, why do we need to increase taxes, Madam Mayor?
Well, I'd like to respond to the question, and it's an excellent question because, of course, we're always very concerned about fiscal responsibility and not increasing taxes to any rate that isn't manageable. Unfortunately, there aren't programs and services that that can be cut or diminished. People always ask for increased and enhanced programs and services, and our costs continue to increase each year as well. And when we look at our labor costs, which represent about 60% of our budgets, our union settlements are always increasing at the rate of around inflation, 2% each year as well. So, increased taxes allow us to continue to make strategic investments, and we usually put our investments into transit and into our infrastructure. But we're always looking for savings, and I will tell you that last year we found nearly $4 million in savings. This year we're aiming for $3 million in savings, and over the past 10 years, we have found almost $52 million in savings. So we're always challenging our staff to find savings so we can keep any tax increases at a minimum and maintain them, any increases that should be needed at a rate of inflation. I'll also ask our Commissioner of Corporate Services, our CFO, Gary Kent, to make a few comments, if I may.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think you covered it well. Basically, when we present the budget, we break it down into four different categories. Normal operations, so things like your hydro costs going up, as Madam Mayor mentioned, inflation. We have, I think, 9 different unions in the municipality. They've all got contracts that have some sort of increase in them. We respond in normal operations to sometimes decisions that are outside of our control. For example, arbitration on fire services is something that council doesn't control, but an arbitrator, and council is very active at speaking to the province about changing that legislation. Then secondly, you have new initiatives, and as Madam Mayor mentioned, transit. So in the upcoming budget, you'll see an investment of around 45,000 new transit hours, and that's a discrete choice that council could make not to increase that, but from all our polling, transit remains probably the number one priority. Then we also have other legislation, for example, the recently introduced minimum wage legislation that's going to impact the municipality next year. So you'll see some information on that. And of course, the one that's already come up is our capital and infrastructure and debt repayment levy, which is in place as well. So what we try and break down the budget to tangible pieces that council can debate and that people can understand a bit better, hopefully.
If you're just joining us, my name is Jody Shanoff, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm joined tonight by Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie, along with members of the city's leadership team. They're here to answer your questions about the city's budget for 2018. Remember, you can press *3 on your phone keypad at any time to let us know you'd like to ask our speakers a question, or type your question into the question field for those of you online. Thanks to everyone who's participating. Now let's go to another quick poll question. My second quick poll question this evening is, how would you prefer the city fund its services? If you think the city should increase service levels and increase taxes above the rate of inflation, press 1. If you think the city should maintain service levels and increase taxes at around the level of inflation, press 2. If you think the city should decrease service levels and reduce taxes, press 3. The question again is, how would you prefer the city fund its services? Increase service levels and increase taxes above the rate of inflation, press 1. Maintain service levels and increase taxes at around the level of inflation, press 2. Decrease service levels and reduce taxes, press 3. Thanks very much for your feedback. We'll move right on to our next question, and it's from Jersey regarding rapid transit. Jersey, what's your question? My apologies, that question was to be read aloud. So the question is, what are the plans for rapid transit for the mayor?
Jersey, that's an excellent question as well, because of course we're very focused on enhancing our public transit system here in Mississauga. And if I may, I'll reiterate that the plans that exist and the future plans, we're always investing into our MyWay Transit. Each year we put strategic investments to ensure that our bus system and our express systems are optimal and working for our citizens. One more station opening on our bus transit way, which people see running on the parallel to the 403 corridor. It's 18 kilometers of dedicated bus rapid transit way. It's been very effective and will be more so once that final station at Renforth Gateway opens. Next year, we're very, very excited that our light rail transit system will be opening. That's 20 kilometers and 22 tracks running north-south along here, Ontario. In addition, we're looking at higher order transit on Dundas Street, and we believe that the Dundas Street corridor is ready for a dedicated bus rapid transitway. We're also looking at the Lakeshore corridor because it's congested today, and with the new developments at Lakeview and at the West Village, the former Texaco Imperial Oil Lands, there'll be a lot of new development in the south. We're looking to see what is the appropriate higher order transit and where that could be retrofit as well. We're looking at Derry Road. We're always looking for investments, and plus we're enhancing our transit terminal at Square One in the downtown. It is the second busiest transit terminal in all of the GTA. If I may, I'll ask our Commissioner for Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, to make a few comments about our plans for rapid transit as well. Over to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie, and I think you've outlined well what the plans are for rapid transit on some of our major corridors in Mississauga. You talked about the transitway in terms of completion of the infrastructure and as well as additional investment in our downtown along the transitway. The LRT is very active right now in terms of planning to get ready for construction. You mentioned the studies that we're doing. We're also working very closely with Metrolinx on some of their projects in terms of regional express rail, in terms of making that a priority for Mississauga and looking at all-way, two-way GO service in Mississauga. We're also working on a transportation master plan right now that will look at rapid transit initiatives in Mississauga as well as additional investments in transportation infrastructure that we need to make people move around more efficiently in Mississauga. And in addition to the work that we're doing, I'd also acknowledge the work that Metrolinx is doing around the regional transportation plan. And actually, tomorrow night, October 5th, Metrolinx will be at the Living Arts Center to seek public engagement on the regional transportation plan. And I encourage you to take a look at that, because in there it outlines a number of projects and priority items within Mississauga, both around rapid transit, but as well as other investments in transit and transportation to make our region move more efficiently.
Thanks for that. Our next question comes from Grace, and it's about the Lakeview project. Grace, go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, my name is Grace, and I would like to know more about the, I think, Lakeview Inspiration project that you have in the area. So I know that you have before the four towers and they put down, and it looks like now they have a beautiful project. I would like to know how far we are with this project, if this project will be real or just to be just a project in the paper.
Grace, we are so excited about the Lakeview project. This has been years in the planning, and we've been working very closely with OPG, Ontario Power Generation, because the provincial government actually owns that land where those four sisters towers, that coal plant, once stood. We are very excited. Let me tell you what the progress is, and then I'm going to pass it on to our Commissioner of Planning to give you a further update. So there was about 250 acres of land there, and what will be built will be a beautiful waterfront, mixed-use, live-work community. 167 acres have been put out to public tenders. A number of consortiums of developers have come forward to make a bid, and I know that the province is looking at shortlisting two or three of these consortiums and then negotiating with them on who will build that new community that will have an innovation corridor and a cultural corridor and mixed-use that will have an aspect of affordable housing. housing as well. The good news is the province gave back 77 acres for the city to use, so we're very excited about that. We will ensure that the waterfront is open and available for all our residents, and I'm very excited about this new project. I know Councillor Jim Tovey, who he has really been the champion for this community, is very excited about it as well. But as you know, it is a brownfield, and I expect that it'll take a few years to clean that land before anything will be built. So I'd say we're 2-3 years away from any construction to begin, but it will be real. It is real. As you called it, it's Inspiration Lakeview, and it's an aspirational project, and we're very excited that it's on the waterfront. Where in North America do you find 250 acres on the waterfront available for building a new, beautiful live-work community? So we're very, very excited. And I think Ed Sajecki, our Commissioner of Planning and Building, like to make a few comments as well.
I would add to what the mayor said, that these are legacy projects. And in addition to the former Ontario Power Generation lands, there's also something called the Lakeview Waterfront Connection. And that's a joint project with the Region of Peel and Credit Valley Conservation, which will add another 70 plus acres of parkland and trail systems. So the Inspiration Lakeview project is really a game changer in terms of the quality of life that the citizens of Mississauga will enjoy with the public amenities along the waterfront.
Thanks for that. I'd like to remind people who are joining us on the call to please dial *3 so that you can ask a question of the mayor and of staff at the table with us about the 2018 budget. The next person who'd like to ask a question is Sylvia, and Sylvia would like to know about support for IT startup companies. Sylvia, what's your specific question for the mayor?
Hi, Mayor Crombie and team. My question is regarding what initiatives and funding will be given to IT startups, especially if they are new to Canada?
Well, Sylvie, it's an excellent question. With respect to specific incentives, only the provincial government can offer those, and they often do if it's for R&D purposes. You'd have to work closely with the provincial government, and we can help you through our economic development office to identify what those might be. The city, unfortunately, is prohibited from offering any sorts of specific incentives, but I must say that you have picked the right community. We have a vibrant innovation scene here. We have a number of key companies like new innovators like SOTI, like Point Click Care, who are doing such innovative things. We were midway through that innovation corridor, starting at the Communitech and Kitchener-Waterloo, coming right through Mississauga and then down into Toronto. So we are firmly on that innovation corridor. We have exciting things happening. We have the Institute of Innovation Management and Innovation at UTM. They have the iCube at UTM. At Sheridan College has their business school. They too have an innovation center similar to the DMZ down at Ryerson, right at Sheridan College. We have a RIC center down in the Sheridan Homelands, and the National Research Council, in conjunction with Xerox, is opening a new center of advanced materials manufacturing in the South End in the Sheridan Research Center as well. So we have the skilled talent, we have innovators, and we're on the innovation corridor, and I think that you're well positioned. If anyone else wants to make a comment. Nope. Great. I think you're well positioned, so we thank you for your business.
Thanks very much for that. Our next caller is Kate, and Kate has a question about the development of public spaces. Kate, go ahead with your question.
Yes, good evening. My question is in regards to development of public spaces in terms of providing more walking accessibility to public spaces, fountains, benches, tables, so that we would be more inclined to use public spaces in Mississauga, you know, and not drive as much, perhaps walking, encouraging walking within our community.
Kate, Kate, I completely concur with you. Our goal is to build a complete city, a livable, walkable city, one where you don't need your car to get around, that you can walk to services and amenities. We also believe in building green spaces and creative spaces for people to go. You can see that we're always adding to our public art collection. The newest element, Whispering Pines, was opened at the Riverwood Conservancy recently. We're always adding to that collection just to make our city a little more unique, a little more creative, because we believe unique creative cities have a soul. We believe in our cultural sector as well. So I'm going to pass it on to our Commissioner for Community Services, Paul Mitchum, who wants to talk to us a little bit about the development of more interesting creative public spaces.
So thank you very much, Mayor Crombie and Kate, for this question. Just to let you know, we're in the midst of our master planning process, which we do every roughly 5 years. Part of that plan will be to look at the master plan for trails and connecting linkages of trails. So that, I think, will go a ways to addressing your concern with respect to having more walkable trails, more trails for cycling, and more trails for mobility purposes. We are also developing and have in our plans many different local initiatives to expand parkland, to expand the number of shade shelters, shade structures within existing parks, more areas for picnics. Largely, I think, in my mind, to begin to address the needs of some of the older demographics within the city. We've heard from the broader community that more shade, more walkable trails, and more picnic areas, more benches are all a priority. So we'll be coming forward with plans within those four areas over the next 2 to 3 years. Thank you, Kate.
Our next question is from Tina, and it's with regard to streets. Tina, what's your question?
Yeah, hi, good evening. I have a question, please, regarding McLaughlin Road. Like from Derry Road all the way until Eglinton, there are some parts that are two lanes and other parts are only one lane. I was wondering, is there any plans to have like the whole road two lanes? Thank you.
Tina, it's a very good question. So there is about 1 kilometer of roadway on McLaughlin that is two lanes. The balance of it is four lanes, two lanes in each direction, although around the Sugar Bush, which is the back end of the Britannia Farm, McLaughlin Road is only two lanes, one lane in each direction. And we have support from the residents in the area that don't want that street enlarged. And we feel that today that road is at the right size and can accommodate the traffic that exists. But there is a plan long term. I mean, eventually that street will be likely be four lanes in each direction, but there are plans to enhance it, to make it beautiful and add cycling paths and cycling lanes. But I understand there is a bit of a bottleneck there. We have heard from residents. However, the local residents believe in character that exists today, because it is a scenic road as well, and they prefer that road stay the two lanes in that 1 kilometer section. Our Commissioner of Transportation and Works, Jeff Wright, would like to address this issue as well.
Hi, Tina. It's Jeff Wright from Transportation and Works. So your question on McLaughlin Road, yes. So the city did undertake an environmental assessment to look at opportunities to create more capacity for traffic as well as cyclists and pedestrians in that corridor. That work was completed in around March of 2016. At that point, council decided not to proceed with that work. And as such, we will not be proceeding with the widening of McLaughlin Road at this point. But in terms of traffic management, that is a key priority for the city of Mississauga. So in addition to looking at investments in transit, investments in cycling, investments in active transportation, we're also making investments in traffic management with our advanced traffic management system to look at ways that we can create greater capacity out of our existing infrastructure, how we can move traffic more efficiently. So we're about halfway through that project right now in terms of upgrading our traffic signals and creating a more of a management approach to how we manage traffic in our city. But thank you. It's a great question.
Our next caller with a question is Diana, and her question is about affordable housing. Diana, please go ahead with your question.
Hello. Sorry, just one second.
Hello.
Okay, so there was a recent question asked earlier about affordable rental in Mississauga. I just wanted to know if there are plans to aid families living in Mississauga that want, like, to own a home in Mississauga so that their children can have the same opportunity to grow up in this great city and not have to relocate?
Diana, it's an excellent question, and it's something we're very aware of, and we're worried about the middle class, and we're worried about families, and we're worried about the rising cost of real estate, and we don't want people to be priced out of the market. We want Mississaugans to continue to live and work in our community, and we, of course, want to assist families that are aspiring to buy their own home one day, and there are programs at the Region of Peel that can assist with a down payment, that can assist for first-time home buyers if you meet certain requirements. Let me say this is important. We've got a report called Making Room for the Middle. We're particularly concerned in areas where there are a lot of new developments, such as the LRT corridor. We want to encourage the building of rental properties. We want to ensure that there is inclusionary zoning so that a portion of new units that be set aside for rent geared to income. But we want to ensure that there are properties where families can own their own home, whether it's a home or a townhome or a condominium, that they are affordable. We have a target of 35% of all new housing stock be built, that it be affordable so that the average family can afford to continue to afford to purchase within our city. I know that our Commissioner of Planning and Building, Ed Sajecki, would like to make a few comments as well, Diana, but thank you for your question.
Well, I would just add to what the mayor said, that when we had the affordable housing panel looking at these issues, we had one representative from an organization called Options for Homes. And part of the reason why we wanted to do that is that we understand that housing really is a continuum. I mean, I know in my own case, I certainly rented in the early days, and then I moved through and fortunately was able to buy a home. And as people move through that housing continuum, if they're in rental and then move into a home, that also frees up rental housing for other people. So it is a really dynamic system that we're working toward. And, you know, there are a number of suggestions that have come through the affordable housing panel. And I did mention to a previous caller that we are bringing forward a report to Planning and Development Committee on October the 16th dealing with these issues.
Thanks very much for that question. If you have a question for Mayor Crombie or one of the other guests from the city's leadership team, please press *3 on your phone and you'll be routed to one of our operators. If you're joining us online, please type your question into the question field. I think the audience is ready for another polling question. Here it is. Getting more people to use public transit would help ease traffic congestion for everyone. What would make you use public transit more often? If it's faster travel times, press 1. If it's more frequent service, press 2. If it's better connections to regional transit networks, press 3. Or if it's the development of more higher-order transit, like light rail transit and trains, press 4. Once again, the question is, getting more people to use public transit would help ease traffic congestion for everyone. What would make you use public transit more often? If it's faster travel times, press 1. More frequent service, press 2. Better connections to regional transit networks, press 3. If it's the development of more higher order transit, like light rail transit and trains, press 4. We'll move back to the phones and our callers with questions. Our next caller is Aliyah, and her question is about sports programs. Alia, what is your question?
My question is, like, in the past, I have seen a program for children, a fitness program in school, junior schools, and I don't see them anymore. Do we have a budget especially for that so it enhances the athletic abilities in the younger children?
Elia, it's Mayor Crombie speaking. So unfortunately, we don't control the programs, the programming in the school system. But I know that they're always trying to develop and enhance the programs that meet the needs of our local communities, as we do at the City of Mississauga and all our sports programming at all of our community centers, at our rinks and our pools, etc. And to speak to you about the kinds of programming that we have at the City of Mississauga, but not necessarily in the school system, because of course we don't have control over the school system. They're run by the either the Peel District School Board or the Dufferin Peel Catholic Board. I'm going to pass on to our Commissioner of Community Services, Paul Mitchum, to speak about the sports programs we offer at the City of Mississauga for our youth.
So thank you, Elia. We're doing our absolute best to keep up with the demand among young people for more sport opportunities. Any visit to a community center or to any one of our community facilities will let you know that we have any number of learn to swim, soccer, skills, basketball opportunities for young people. You can go online, visit us at our recreation page and see a long listing of programs for young people. We do a lot beyond that, beyond what we deliver directly, to support other youth organizations in the city to deliver what I'd call a more formalized approach to sport, whether it's through hockey clubs, soccer clubs, tennis, and so on. And cricket, of course. Someone mentioned cricket in the background. We provide the facilities in large part, but work with the community then to deliver the sport experience to youth. And as I said to an earlier caller, we're in the midst of master planning our facilities for the next 10 years. So we'll be going down a long list of soccer, baseball, cricket grounds, hockey rinks, tennis courts, and so on, to make sure that we have the right mix of sport amenities moving forward into the future. Thank you for that good question.
Our next question is from Riaz, and it's with regard to seniors. Riaz, what is your question?
My question is that seniors who are on GIS, granted income supplement, and which is funded by the federal government, and they own their own principal home. The city government is charging tax, property tax from them, and they people are also getting gains. Is one fund which is provided by the federal by the provincial government. So federal government and provincial governments are providing them minimum income so that they could live their life, but city government is charging property tax from them. On the principal home, which is a basic, essential, and exempted asset, I think that is injustice to the seniors. And City of Toronto, Mayor of City of Toronto, has allocated $50 million to for the people who are sleeping on footpaths of Yonge Street so that they could be provided homes. And here the homes are with them and they are being charged property tax in spite of the fact that their minimum income is being granted by the federal government and the provincial government.
Riaz, you know, it's a difficult dilemma. Of course, the city needs to charge property taxes because it's our only source of revenue, and that's the only way we can provide the programs and services, build the infrastructure that our companies require to open their businesses and provide jobs, and invest in the transit systems, the public transit systems, so we can ensure that our residents can get to work and get to their appointments and to school. Now, we do offer programs for our seniors, and I've got a specialist here. I've got someone here, Connie Massey, our Director of Revenue and Material Management, who will speak to the programs that we offer low-income seniors. We have a number of programs for our seniors, but if there are low-income seniors that need assistance with on property taxes, we have such a program as well. We do a lot for our seniors. We want them to continue to enjoy the fruits of their labor and stay in their homes as long as possible. I'll just mention that all cities are working to alleviate poverty and homelessness, and I'm delighted to hear that Mayor Tory is this top of his agenda as well in trying to alleviate homelessness in the city of Toronto. Of course, we have a plan and a strategy here in Mississauga as well. But Connie, who is our Director of Revenue and Material Management, will speak to you about the tax relief programs we have for our low-income seniors. Over to you, Connie.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, as the Mayor indicated, there are many, many programs that we offer our seniors, including a My Way discount program, a yard and maintenance assistance, and Active Assist, which allows seniors to participate in our programs at our community centers. But specifically with respect to taxes, offer a tax rebate program, an annual tax rebate to low-income seniors of $400. It is an annual application that is made, and it goes directly towards your property taxes to reduce your property taxes. And in addition, I would also mention that the province also provides a property tax rebate program that you can apply for when you submit your income tax. So again, many, many programs available to assist our low-income seniors. Thank you for your question.
Just a reminder that there's still time to get in a question if you would like to ask one. You can do that by dialing *3 on your phone keypad. Our next caller is Sensen, who wants to know what the city is doing to attract business. Sensen, go ahead with your question.
Hello, Madam Mayor, and thanks for the opportunity to make a contribution. Many of the comments relate to the lifestyle, improving lifestyle and ameliorating the situation for people for leisure. However, we have to remember there's a cost to all of this. I would like to know what the city is doing to attract businesses who might end up paying money here to the city, as well as providing jobs. Thank you.
Sensen, you know, it is one of my goals, one of my key priorities to ensure that we are attracting businesses. We continue to attract business because I believe it leads to prosperity and, of course, to job creation. We have a strong value proposition in Mississauga. We have a business-friendly environment. We have a AAA credit rating. We're one of the safest cities in Canada. We have very low business taxes. We have excellent infrastructure, and we provide excellent services to provide a soft landing for our cities. We assist new businesses through our Economic Development Office however we can. Our Economic Development Office is one of the strongest and the best in the GTA. They're always looking for business opportunities. For instance, we're known for our life sciences cluster. As you know, we're affectionately called Pill Hill. And they have a strategy on how to attract more life sciences companies into our city. We have the second largest life sciences sector by employment. We also have the second largest aerospace industry by employment. We're very vibrant advanced manufacturing. But we also know that the growth in the future is in ICT. And as I said earlier in the call, we sit firmly on that innovation corridor, and there's lots of innovation occurring in Mississauga. We are part of an organization called Toronto Global. It is a foreign direct investment arm of the three levels of government, federal, provincial, municipal. They are actively going out and looking for those companies looking to invest abroad, and we attempting to attract them to the GTA. I do the same when I see there are strategic investment opportunities. I've just come home from Japan, where I had the opportunity to lock in a new company that will be coming to Mississauga. It was just announced today. It's a new aerospace company called Tomei from Japan that will be coming. I had the opportunity to travel to South America and brought a life sciences company called Biolab, which was a $50 million investment leading to about 50 highly skilled new jobs, adding to our tax base, to our tax revenue. I mentioned Toronto Global, this foreign direct investment arm of three levels of government. We are working with all the mayors of the GTA, working together to try to attract Amazon, which is a $5 billion investment and would lead to 50,000 new jobs if they were to pick us. So we think we have a very strong what we call value proposition, which makes us the right environment to invest. We are confident I think businesses are confident rather that their investment is safe here. We have very stable government and a very business-friendly environment with low business taxes. So I think the other key is that we have a highly trained, highly skilled workforce that speaks many, many languages. So we're very well suited for investment. We have not only six 400 series highways, but we have the airport. And the airport is very vital. It's very critical to our success. And we have a very strong market here. Population of 6 million people in the GTA on which to draw from the skilled talent base can draw from 6 million people. And within a 1.5 hour drive and a 1 hour flight to the U.S., there's a market of 140 different residents, also opportunity to attract for sales and investment from 140 million individuals in the U.S. So we have a very strong, vibrant economic development office. I work very closely with them to attract new businesses because it's vital. It's vital for our prosperity, vital for our development to attract new businesses and create jobs. So I'm with you. I'm with you, Sensen. I believe what you do, that we need to continue to go out and attract business to our city. Anyone want to add anything? No, we're good. Thank you for the question.
Our next question comes from Debbie. And Debbie's question is about accessibility of city facilities and pools. Debbie, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Crombie and your team. Thank you very much for this live town hall. It's excellent. So my question is, I'm a person with a visible disability. I need a rollator. I use the indoor community pools. I find that some of the older pools are severely lacking in upgrading and modernization to make them more disability access friendly. What are your plans to upgrade some of these pools so that they're easy to get in and get out of on our own? Thank you.
Debbie, that's an excellent question, and I'll let you know that we have an accessibility advisory committee of the city that advises council of the needs of folks who require enhanced services, and I have our Commissioner Paul Mitchum of Community Services here that's going to tell you about our pools and our recreational center, community centers, and how we're always working to ensure that they are accessible. Over to you, Paul.
Thank you, Mayor Crombie. And Debbie, you've really hit the nail on the head by saying that the problems you're experiencing are within our older facilities, so that within our new facilities, as the mayor had said, that we're very careful to make sure that we're accessible to all people with disabilities. We have a very active committee that works with us and our facilities group to make sure that the designs are adequate and comprehensive when it comes to persons with disabilities. That said, we do have a number of older facilities, but that we're working hard to replace those facilities. You know, I'm thinking as we speak at school pools, whether it's at Cawthra Secondary, the Glen Forest Pool, South Common Pool, those are all pools that, from my own experience, are limited in terms of accessibility. But over the next decade, and the school pools, hopefully over the next 5 years, we're hoping to make progress by replacing those pools with new pools with the kind of accessibility that someone in your position would appreciate. I would let you know that we're planning a new pool at Churchill Meadows, which is out on the Ninth Line lands. That will be a new pool, and as I said, new pools have very good accessibility, and so we're hoping that you can find a pool within your community that works for you. Thank you, Debbie, for your question.
Our next question is from Bernadetta about stormwater management. Bernadetta, go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for this opportunity to ask my question. I'd like to ask what the city is doing to manage stormwater and flood and drought adaptation and resiliency. Thank you.
Well, it's an excellent question, Bernadetta. We've seen the impact of the devastation in Florida, in Texas, in the Caribbean, the devastation that as a direct result of climate change and the storms, the 100-year storms that are occurring so much more regularly. It used to be every 4 years. Now it seems it's almost every year. We've just seen the impact of Irma and Harvey. Here in Mississauga, we're taking leadership. We have created, let me just first say that we voted to join the, we used to be known as the Compact of Mayors, now it's known as the Covenant of Mayors. So we have a strategy and a plan that includes adaptation and mitigation of climate change, and we're very, very proud of that, to finally join international cities like Paris and Rome and Tokyo to be part of that international Covenant of Mayors. But we also have a stormwater levy, and the stormwater levy is a dedicated levy that collects approximately $35 million each year that goes directly into mitigation and adaptation measures, where we're enhancing our storm sewer pipes, our catch basins, our stormwater management ponds and facilities, and the drainage systems. And so we are ensuring that we are protected here in Mississauga. We had flooding in 2009, we had flooding in 2013, and we want to ensure that our residents are protected. And this is the only way that we can do so, that we have a dedicated fund that we can use, that money won't go into general revenue, it goes into the stormwater fund so that we can better adapt to climate change. And our Commissioner of Transportation and Public Works, Jeff Wright, is going to speak to this as well. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Bernadetta, for the question about stormwater management. So the mayor alluded to our stormwater charge program, which really generates a significant amount of revenue that we're using to fund two streams of work. One is our operating programs, and those are things that we're doing around maintaining our creeks and looking at, you know, planning for the future around extreme weather. And then the other stream that we have is on our infrastructure renewal. So we're looking at developing an asset management plan that really looks at how we manage the replacement of our infrastructure around our storm pipe renewal, but also provides funding for capital programs such as stormwater management facilities and other storm sewer projects that are in place right now. So we are looking at, you know, a combination of flood relief, stormwater ponds, you know, culverts and drainage improvement projects. We have a number of storm sewer projects that are on the go right now, as well as a number of creek erosion projects that we're looking at. So we have a very comprehensive stormwater management program in the city, and as Mayor Crombie alluded to, our stormwater charge allows us to take dedicated revenue, apply that to the future for when we prepare for the future extreme weather events and look at replacing our infrastructure in the future.
Our next question has come to us from Azar online, and the question is there a focus to reduce the residential tax rate?
Azar, it's Mayor Crombie, and it's an excellent question, because all of us around this room, around this table, are taxpayers as well, and we're very concerned about the rate of tax increases. In fact, when I was elected mayor, I made a pledge to keep any increases in and around the rate of inflation. We're always looking for savings. Last year, for instance, we saved $4 million through lean, and I'm going to ask one of our commissioners to explain that a little further to you. The city manager often challenges her departments to look for savings. This year, we're projecting savings of nearly $3 million, and over the past decade, we have found savings of $52 million. Imagine what that would have been on the tax bill if we hadn't found those savings. So there's a good reason why 60% of our residents believe that they're getting good value for their tax dollars, because we're fiscally responsible, we care about your money, we care about taxpayers' money, we try to keep our any increase to in and around the rate of inflation, and we're very determined to do so because we're taxpayers just like you are. But at the same time, we look for savings, and we're always looking to enhance our programs and services by making dedicated and strategic investments. Each year we make strategic investments in our public transit and in our infrastructure. But we're also putting money away for a rainy day. So We do put 2% away each year for our infrastructure and for our debt repayment. So we're very fiscally conservative. We're very concerned about tax increases, just the way you are. And I will ask our Commissioner Gary Kent to speak from a perspective of corporate services, and he is our CFO, and he will talk to you a little bit more about savings and about our lean program where we have found significant savings. Gary?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, as the Mayor mentioned, we are currently in the middle of what we believe is the largest deployment of lean techniques in the municipal setting in Canada. And I'll explain a little bit about that. However, we also annually, our city manager challenges all the departments to reduce 1% of their gross budget. And we also use user fees to keep taxes down. About 30% of our annual revenue is based on user fees. So when you think of recreational programs and transit, these are all user fees that help keep the tax burden down. I mentioned lean, and many of you who are in the private sector will understand what that means. But it's basically a program that's grassroots that helps every single individual in the corporation eliminate waste, which is the phrase that we use. So we've trained over 2,000 staff to be looking for waste elements at a kind of grassroots level. And then we have certain programs and resources available to help them do more than that. So we've got 47 green belts and 30 yellow belts. We've got about 50 projects ongoing right just now, and over the last year we've harnessed about 650 small improvements. So it really has captured the imagination of city staff, and we've got tangible results. And during our budget committee meetings, we'll be talking more about lean and bringing a corporate report forward to demonstrate the results to the public.
This next question has come to us from Arsh, and the question is, what is the city doing to encourage public transit use?
Arsh, it's an excellent question because, of course, our city was once upon a time designed around an automobile. We have wide boulevards, and it made it easy for the commute. But what we found is that commute with too many cars on the road is it's gridlock and congestion, and our roads are full. And gridlock and congestion are costing our economy over $6 billion each and every year. So we need to get cars off the road. We need to get people onto public transit, and we're always looking for ways to do so. Public transit is efficient. We need to make it affordable. We need to provide good service, and that service has to be seamless. So when people get onto the bus, they need to connect with the LRT or the GO train, and it has to be very seamless for them to do so. So we're always investing in public transit. Each year we put all our gas tax money into public transit. When we make strategic investments, it's into public transit. We're always looking to enhance our bus routes to provide better services, and we're always evaluating our bus routes to ensure they meet the needs of our residents. As you know, we've built a bus rapid transit way. It runs parallel to the 403. It's 18 kilometers. The final station will open later this year at Renforth Gateway, and we're very proud of that. Next year, we're breaking ground on Here Ontario Light Rail Transit, the LRT. It's been brought to us by the provincial government. They've invested $1.4 billion on the LRT. And the goal is to get people out of their cars and into public transit, move people more efficiently and more affordably. And it's good for the environment, but it's good for our economy as well, because gridlock and congestion are costing our economy. I don't know if our commissioner would like to make a few comments as well on what we're doing to encourage public transit use. We're trying to keep the cost of fares down as well, encourage people to use Presto cards so we can coordinate with the bigger system in the GTA. And our Commissioner Jeff Wright of Transportation and Works would like to make a few comments as well.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You've touched on a lot of great points about how we're making transit more accessible and more available to residents in Mississauga. I think there's three points that I would like to make in terms of where we're taking a lot of action. One is on our fare strategy and use of technology through Presto to make it easier for people to access transit, maybe make it easier for people to board the bus and not have to worry about their monthly passes or having the exact change. But also the investments that Council is making in the affordability of transit in terms of a partnership with the region on the affordable transportation program, as well as the senior $1 fare. The second point is around our service plan, and I would suggest that our service frequency and reliability plays a big role in attracting people to public transit, and we're investing significantly in making that happen. And the third point is on our rapid transit projects, and that's the investments that we've been made in the transitway, as well as the light rail service on here, Ontario, and the studies that we're doing to assess the future of transit along some of our other major corridors along Dundas and Lakeshore. So thanks. Great question.
We're coming to the end of our time together this evening. There have been so many great questions and robust conversation tonight. If you enjoyed participating in tonight's session, you may be interested to know the mayor and some city councilors will be hosting two additional sessions in coming weeks. Councillor Karen Raz of Ward 2 and Councillor Ron Starr of Ward 6 will join the mayor on Wednesday, October 18th, to discuss the 2018 budget, while Mayor Crombie will be joined by Councillor Chris Fonseca of Ward 3 and Councillor John Kovac of Ward 4 on Thursday, October 26th, to speak with residents about budgeting issues. If you live in one of those wards and would like to receive a call to participate in the telephone budget session, please visit the website mississauga.ca/budget to register. Mayor Crombie, do you have any closing thoughts to share with our audience regarding tonight's telephone budget session?
Yes, Jody, thank you so very much, and thank you to everyone. There were some great questions tonight. People in Mississauga really care. Some of the topics that came up on climate change, on public transit, on affordable housing, and on accessibility. And I can assure you that we will continue to work on our plan to successfully deliver on the needs of our city while always keeping our business priorities and our strategic goals in mind. And that's keeping taxes at a minimum at the rate of inflation. We're committed to respecting taxpayers' dollars by delivering great services, maintaining infrastructure, and spending your resources, your tax dollars, wisely. There are many ways you can find out more about what the city is doing and why, and to stay engaged in the budget process. Again, this year, the City of Mississauga has an online budget allocator tool that allows you to share your opinion by selecting your preferred budget for 12 of our service areas. You can try the allocator or request a meeting for your community group and find out a lot more information about the budget and the budget process on our website, mississauga.ca/budget. You can attend an upcoming community meeting in Ward 9 or Ward 2. And if you have a question or comment about the budget, you can also email the city at budget@mississauga.ca. That, I'll say it again, is budget@mississauga.ca. You can also follow the progress of our budget discussions by following the city on Facebook or on Twitter. And finally, you can attend or watch a budget committee meeting, which will begin on November 20th. All budget committee meetings are open to the public and are live streamed on our website at mississauga.ca. So thank you all to the residents who participated, who asked questions tonight, those of you who phoned in to listen to the dialogue. Thank you for your participation tonight. Your input into the 28 budget process is greatly appreciated. Thank you and good night from your mayor.
Thanks to everyone for your participation tonight. Remember, if you had a question and we didn't get a chance to hear from you tonight, you can send that question in an email to budget@mississauga.ca, where city staff will have a chance to review it and send you a response. Once again, the place to send that question is budget@mississauga.ca. Thanks again for being part of this important event. Thank you for your interest and your questions, and have a great evening.